Imagine spending like $500,000 on a state-of-the-art data dashboard.
Oh, yeah. A huge investment.
Right. You roll it out to the company. Everyone applauds the beautiful pie charts. Mm. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, you walk past the sales department and catch them manually updating some secret color-coded Excel spreadsheet.
Because they simply do not trust the expensive software. It happens all the time.
Exactly. They bypass it completely. Well, today for our deep dive, we have a leaked, or actually an internally published document that explains exactly why that happens to you and how to fix it.
Yeah, it's titled Real-Time Dashboard Development 2026, a Leadership Implementation Guide.
Which, I mean, on its surface, it sounds like a very straightforward, maybe slightly dry IT manual for business leaders.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's unpack this, because if you look closely at the margins of this guide, there is a literal timeline and a target audience breakdown just hidden right there in the text.
Right. If you zoom out, the context of this whole tech manual just shifts entirely. What we are actually looking at is an internal playbook from a tech company called Technegen.
Which is wild.
It really is. Yes, the document contains legitimate, highly valuable business advice on how leaders should build data dashboards. But simultaneously, it's a masterclass in behind-the-scenes B2B digital marketing.
Wait, so doing two things at once.
Exactly. The document reveals their precise strategy for June 2026 specifically, week 20 of their calendar. It maps out how this very guide is being used as a weapon for SEO, how they are targeting local Orange County markets, and, you know, how they plan to build backlink partnerships.
It's like we found the magician's notebook. Like, half the page teaches you how to do the card trick, and the other half breaks down exactly how to sell tickets to the magic show.
That is a perfect way to put it.
So our mission for you today is twofold. First, we are going to extract the actual business advice from this guide to help you fix broken data systems. Because, I mean, their methodology is rock solid.
It really is.
But simultaneously, we're going to peek behind the curtain to see how a modern tech company engineers its own authority and executes this highly calculated 180-day growth plan.
We basically get to see the message and the medium all at once, which is a rare opportunity, you know, to see the machinery from the inside. But before we can appreciate the brilliance of how Technegen markets this guide, we really need to understand the fundamental business problem the document is trying to solve. Because if the core tech advice wasn't completely sound, the marketing strategy layered on top of it simply wouldn't work.
The foundation has to be real.
Right. It has to actually solve a problem for the reader.
And if you've ever sat in like a Q3 review meeting where three different department heads brought three different spreadsheets with completely contradictory revenue numbers.
That's a total nightmare.
Then you have felt the exact operational friction this document is targeting. Technegen calls this the illusion of good data. They point out that organizations today do not lack tools. I mean, we are drowning in software.
We really are. Everyone has a SaaS subscription for everything.
Right. We have more analytics platforms than we know what to do with. The real risk isn't a lack of data. It's dashboards that look visually stunning but fail to answer actual business questions. They update too slowly, or worse, like nobody actually owns them.
Yeah, they just sit there.
It reminds me of a Hollywood movie set. You know, from the street, the charts look like a gorgeous, fully functioning skyscraper. But grab the doorknob, open the door, and there is absolutely no plumbing inside.
Just an empty facade.
Exactly. The data feeds aren't actually connected. The latency is lagging by 48 hours. And when a manager tries to pull a real-time lever to fix a supply chain issue, it just snaps off in their hand.
What's fascinating here is how the document traces the fallout of that exact illusion. When you have a Hollywood set dashboard without the internal plumbing, it creates immediate operational friction.
People just stop using it.
Right. Employees realize the system is lagging or the underlying math is wrong, and they immediately revert to survival mode, they guess. Or they go back to that manual Excel file you mentioned earlier.
Which creates profound uncertainty for the leadership team. They thought they had a clear view of the business.
Exactly. But the document explains how this internal chaos doesn't just stay internal. It bleeds directly into the external customer experience.
Oh, because the customer doesn't care what software you use, but they absolutely care when they're placed on hold for 10 minutes while your rep system just, like, hangs.
Precisely. The external customer might never see your internal dashboard, but they feel its failure. When internal data is scattered, customers experience slow answers from support. They experience inconsistent proof or poor digital interfaces.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. If a sales rep can't instantly verify inventory or security protocols because their dashboard is broken, it weakens the conversion process.
Okay.
It directly erodes trust signals. The customer senses the disorganization on the other end of the phone.
So fixing this plumbing isn't just about making the IT team's life easier.
Not at all. It's about protecting revenue and customer confidence.
Okay, so if the current state of affairs is this fake movie set, how does this document propose laying the actual pipes? Technigian lays out a very specific three-phase roadmap to move an organization from vanity metrics to reality.
And it is very disciplined.
Very. Phase one is all about action. Specifically, they say the first step has to be kept extremely narrow. You do not try to, you know, boil the ocean and map every single data point in the company at once.
Which is where most massive tech initiatives fail. They try to do everything and end up doing absolutely nothing.
Right. Instead, they say you define decision use cases first. So if you are trying to track lead flow, you don't plug in every marketing tool you own. You define one specific question, like, are our social media ads generating qualified sales calls?
Just that one question.
Yes. Then you connect only the trusted data needed to answer that specific question, maybe just your CRM and your ad platform. You set strict rules for how often that data needs to refresh, and you design the entire dashboard purely around taking action on that one thing.
And that narrow, disciplined focus leads directly into phase two, where the text delivers a vital warning. It highlights the profound danger of measuring activity instead of measuring outcomes.
Oh, I love this part.
It's so common. It is incredibly easy for a business to say, well, we bought the new analytics tool, we held a planning meeting, we published the new web page.
Box checked.
Right. Those are activities. Anyone can complete an activity. They do not prove that the business actually improved. True success metrics, as defined by this guide, are outcomes. Response time, risk reduction, fewer support tickets, or stronger lead quality.
Wait, I need to push back on that a bit.
Sure.
Because things like response time or support tickets, those are easy to measure. But how do you measure an outcome like risk reduction? That feels like, I don't know, an abstract corporate buzzword. How does a dashboard actually track a reduction in risk?
That is a great question. It does sound abstract until you tie it to time. The document explains that you measure the time it takes an organization to identify an anomaly.
Okay, I'm listening.
For example, if your old scattered data system took 4 hours to flag a security breach or a massive drop in website traffic, but the new streamlined dashboard flags that exact same issue in 4 minutes, you have just quantified a reduction in risk.
Oh, wow. You decrease the window of vulnerability.
Exactly. But you have to define exactly what outcome is being tracked, how often it will be reviewed, and who is going to respond if that metric suddenly moves in the wrong direction.
Which brings up phase three. And I want to dig into this because it challenges how most of us think about technology. Phase three is all about standardizing ownership.
Crucial step.
The text dictates that a specific person has to own the maintenance, the vendor coordination, and the reporting indefinitely after the dashboard goes live. Does this mean a dashboard isn't actually a software product at all, but rather a living, breathing employee operating habit?
Yes.
Because we usually think of software as something you just buy, install, and forget about.
You absolutely cannot treat a dashboard like buying a stapler or installing Microsoft Word. If it is not treated as a daily operating habit owned by a specific human being, it rots.
It rots.
It rots. Software is not static. Vendors update their platforms, APIs break, data structures change, new employees enter data differently.
That's true. Things change every day.
Right. Without a designated human owner whose actual job description includes coordinating those updates and maintaining the plumbing, give it 30 days and you are right back to the Hollywood set. The technology is entirely useless without the human accountability wrapped around it.
But, you know, wrapping human accountability around technology requires time, which means it requires money.
Mm-hmm.
Implementing this roadmap requires resources.
It does.
The guide seamlessly transitions into advising leaders on how to actually budget for this in 2026. Because you can't just walk into a CFO's office and say, hey, we need a massive budget to make our charts look less like a movie set.
Yeah.
You will get laughed out of the room.
You certainly will. To combat that, the document provides a framework for the budget conversation by drawing a hard line between two categories. Urgent fixes and maturity improvements.
Okay, what's the difference?
Urgent fixes are the red alerts. These are issues directly impacting security, compliance, customer experience, or system uptime. You have to fund those immediately because the house is currently on fire.
Right.
Maturity improvements, on the other hand, are about making a stable system stronger over time. things like better automation, enhanced reporting, or deeper data governance.
But how does that actually work in practice? Because there are always urgent fires to put out, right? Mm. Quantifying the cost of inaction sounds great in a textbook, but in reality, how do you put a dollar amount on an annoying dashboard without just making numbers up to convince leadership?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the true genius of their budgeting advice is how they force an objective evaluation of the decay. You don't just say, we want a better, faster dashboard. You ask the CFO, if we leave this specific API broken for another 90 days, what is the impact?
I see.
And then you do the math. If a broken data feed means 10 sales reps have to spend 4 hours a week manually entering data, you calculate their hourly rate multiplied by those hours over the quarter.
Oh, wow. So suddenly you aren't asking for a subjective IT wish list. You are showing them that the cost of inaction is $40,000 in wasted labor.
Exactly. By quantifying the pain of doing nothing, prioritization becomes deeply objective.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. What blows my mind is that the exact same cost of inaction logic they use to sell dashboard budgets to a CFO is the exact logic TechNeon is actively using in the background to target local Orange County executives.
Yes.
The document flips from a tech manual into a marketing weapon right in front of us. Because remember, we are also looking at their June 2026 SEO plan targeting week 20.
And their approach to that target market is incredibly deliberate. In the B2B tech space, the standard playbook is usually to write the broadest, most generic national article possible to cast the widest net. You write, how to build a dashboard in America, hoping to catch everyone.
Which means you end up ranking for nothing, because you are competing with every tech giant on the planet.
Exactly. But TechNeon deliberately avoids that trap. They state explicitly in their margins that generic national checklists provide no real value to their target. Instead, they ground their content heavily in local Orange County business conditions.
Yeah, it's super smart.
It is. They argue that Orange County markets are highly competitive, and local customers expect reliable systems and fast answers. By tying the abstract concept of dashboard development to the specific local economic realities of Orange County, they capture localized competitive demand.
They are specifically targeting what they call Persona B in the document. And if you know B2B marketing, Persona B usually refers to the pragmatic operational decision maker.
Right. The person actually dealing with the mess.
Yes. They aren't targeting the CEO who wants a visionary TED talk. They are targeting the VP of operations sitting in Irvine or Newport Beach who is currently pulling their hair out over a broken spreadsheet and wants a local vendor to come fix their immediate crisis.
And the internal alignment of the document ensures that when that VP of operations reads this guide, the solution is right there. The document mandates natural internal links guiding the reader to TechNeon's specific service pages.
Like what?
Well, their business intelligence consulting, custom software development, and AI native software development pages. If you read this guide and realize your dashboards are broken, their services are woven into the narrative as the logical next step.
But they don't just ask the reader to trust them blindly. They architect authority.
Yes, by grounding their recommendations in credible external standards. They specifically mandate incorporating Microsoft Power BI guidance into the text.
Name dropping a giant.
Right. They understand that when you are talking about security, cloud architecture, and fixing data, a company can't just say, trust us, we know what we are doing. They have to anchor their solutions to universally recognized authorities.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Adding those external links naturally into the body of the text validates their claims and builds immediate trust with an executive who is actively evaluating vendor risk.
And their strategy for getting this document in front of those executives goes way beyond just publishing a good article. The document outlines how they use technical SEO tools, specifically mentioning something called FAQ schemas.
That's a huge technical detail.
It is. They don't just write a nice Q&A section at the bottom of the page and hope Google likes it. They use FAQ schemas dash, which is, you know, hidden code built into the back end of the web page that talks directly to Google's search crawlers.
It's pure technical SEO.
Yeah, it formats their answers so perfectly that Google can extract them and display them directly on the search results page. They are hijacking the top of the search results to prove their authority before the user even clicks a link to visit their website.
And just as the dashboard guide demands that data be measured by outcomes, Their marketing playbook demands exact accountability for the content itself. They draw a direct parallel between the two halves of what we are discussing today.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, when dealing with outside partners or vendors for data implementation, they demand what they call plain language reporting. They explicitly state that leadership shouldn't need a cipher to decode technical notes.
Nobody wants a report full of acronyms.
Exactly. Reports cannot just be a list of jargon server load metrics or API ping rates. The reporting must directly connect those technical details to the actual business outcomes.
Because if a partner hands you a report full of jargon, they're usually trying to hide the fact that the project didn't actually move the needle.
It happens all the time. But what is equally impressive is Technegian's own internal 30-day action checklist for the content itself. They don't just hit publish, share it on social media, and walk away.
Right.
Within the first 30 days, they are actively tracking search impressions, internal link clicks, and ensuring those technical elements like the FAQ schemas are validating correctly. They also track something crucial. Assisted conversions.
Which is an incredibly important metric to understand. An assisted conversion means the article didn't necessarily close the sale the exact moment someone read it, but it served as the crucial stepping stone.
It builds the relationship.
Right. A potential client read the dashboard guide, realized they had a problem, left the site to think about it, and then came back 3 days later to request a consultation. The article assisted the conversion by warming up the lead. They treat this guide as a living asset within a growing authority cluster.
This raises an important question. What does success actually look like in a complex, fast-moving environment? Whether we are talking about launching a massive new real-time dashboard for a global supply chain or launching the specific SEO asset in week 20.
Yeah, what is the benchmark?
The document provides a rather profound answer. The strongest signal of success is not perfection. You are never going to have a flawless dashboard on day one, and you will never have a flawless SEO campaign on day one.
If you wait for perfection, you will literally never launch.
Exactly. The true signal of success is controlled progress. It is the ability of the team to clearly document what changed, why it changed, how it was verified, and what the exact next step is. If you have that documented controlled progress, you have moved from a theoretical idea into a managed business capability. You are no longer guessing, you are steering.
Controlled progress.
Yeah.
I love that. It's forgiving because it acknowledges that things will break, but it demands absolute accountability when they do. So as we bring this deep dive to a close, let's synthesize what we've uncovered for you today.
Let's do it.
We started with a document that looked like a simple tech manual, but it turned out to be a multidimensional playbook. And the core theme that runs through both the data advice and the internal marketing strategy is strikingly unified.
Very much so.
Whether you are an operations leader trying to untangle scattered, unreliable data, or you are a marketing director executing a highly targeted June SEO strategy in Orange County, the rules for success are exactly the same. You absolutely must establish a clear baseline. You must assign a single human owner to the process so it becomes an operating habit, not a forgotten project. Mm. And above all, you have to maintain an obsessive focus on measuring actual business outcomes, like time saved or risk reduced, rather than just patting yourself on the back for completing activities. So what does this all mean?
It means that the ultimate goal of all this architecture, both the plumbing of the data systems and the precision of the content strategies, is to turn raw information into decisions that leaders can actually trust. But if we project this framework forward beyond 2026, it leaves us with a rather profound paradox to consider.
Oh, what kind of paradox?
Well, this entire guide is built on the idea of serving the human leader. We clean the data, we build the dashboard, we assign ownership. Also, the executive can look at the screen and make a trusted choice. But as these real-time dashboards become increasingly sophisticated, and as they become fully integrated with AI-native software that can analyze millions of variables far faster than any human mind ever could, far faster than any human could comprehend, at what point does the human leader actually stop making the decision?
Oh, wow.
If the system is perfectly optimized, does the dashboard evolve from a static tool that we read to gain insight into an autonomous manager that we simply report to?
The movie set doesn't just get plumbing. It becomes the director of the studio. That is a fascinating shift in the power dynamic between us and our data. And that is exactly the lingering question we will leave you with today as you evaluate your own systems, your own habits, and your own dashboards. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and we'll catch you next time.